today on Real Radio.
By being in the Word of God, miraculously, we can't explain it, can't put our finger on it. But the truth of the matter is, when we're in God's Word, we have experienced our lives to be changed supernaturally.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. So before we get into today's episode, Pastor Jack and I have something we'd like to tell you about. Hey, Pastor Jack, I understand you're going to Israel, and for the first time in almost 20 years, you want to open the trip up to the Real Radio audience. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it is going to be our annual trip to Israel, and it all begins on March 24th to April 4th, 2019. I'm telling you, Israel in the springtime, there's nothing like it.
So what are the dates?
March 24th. To April 4th in the spring of 2019.
So what will we be seeing?
We're going to be going, first of all, to amazing sights. Of course, imagine this, actually going to the Temple Mount area of Jerusalem, the focal point of news today. We're going to be going to the Galilee. We're going to have Bible studies in key locations. We're going to be going to spots where Jesus literally walked. It's going to be an amazing trip.
Awesome. Can't wait. I hear that you actually go to those locations. We get a chance to open our Bibles and really get into the scripture regarding that particular place.
Listen, your mind is going to be blown and so will your heart, because we're going to stand in the spot with Bible open and we're going to be receiving Bible studies. We're going to be going through the Word together. My good friend Amir Serfate is going to be joining me from Behold Israel. And we're going to have a trip of a lifetime. Listen, this will be our 17th trip to Israel. And I think you're going to benefit from the experience that we'll be bringing to you.
So tell me where I can get more information, would you?
Yeah, to do that, you would just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And you can click on the banner right there labeled Israel 2019.
So how do I go about signing up?
This is what's going to be fun. To sign up, you would go to our website. And the way we're going to do it, because we have a national interest, is that on August 4th, so mark your calendar, on August 4th, it's a Saturday at 12 noon Pacific time, the website will open up for signups. It will be first come, first serve nationwide. It's going to be August 4th, 12 noon Pacific time, and there you can sign up online for our 2019 March 24th to April 4th tour of Israel. You will not want to miss it. Get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. You know, that's going to be an incredible trip. So now let's jump into today's episode of Real Radio. Pastor Jack, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 1, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The New Testament book of Acts was written by Luke, who also gave us the Gospel of Luke. The book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In chapter 6 of the book of Acts, in verses 1 through 7, we learned that the early church gained the victory over a satanic attack due to their obedience to the Holy Spirit. And we also learned that the birth of the leadership within the church was founded through extreme adversity. Now in chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, we'll see how a witnessing church is an awesome weapon in the hands of a loving God. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that we are God's witnesses, even when we don't speak. Stephen, in the book of Acts, was a man full of persuasive faith and power, but he was promoted by God because he was ready for anything, including manual labor. Stephen's ministry was often done without saying a word. And now in his lesson called A Witnessing Church, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're going to dissect the life of this man called Stephen. We met him last week momentarily. We're going to get into his life over the course of the next 7 weeks. And the title of the message will be, for 7 weeks, A Witnessing Church. We're going to take the life of Stephen and we're going to mimic him in our daily study and in our daily practice. And First Service had a challenge to get out there and be strong, be ready, be resting in the Lord, and be able to do all that God would have us to do. Now, I don't know where you're at. I don't know all of you. But certainly in a room like this and so many here, all of us come from varying backgrounds and varying experiences. And it's safe to say that right now that there may be some here that are red hot for Jesus, some maybe not so, some pretty cool and kind of lukewarm. And it's God's will this morning that you leave this place radically changed. That's His desire. And I know that the title, A Witnessing Church, kind of goes against our comfort zone. I want you to be fully considering the fact that I've thought about that. I realize that it makes you uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. I can't stand to be in line at the store and God says, talk to that guy. And I think it's my stomach saying something to me, or maybe it was that guy behind me or what. And I refuse. And then he says again, talk to that guy right over there in aisle 6, you know. And like you, there's that battle. Should I share? Oh, should I not share? Should I share? Oh, what should I do? Hey, I have found it's easier to obey rather than stand there and argue with God. You're going to lose every time. You will lose. And you'll find out that God, when He tells you, go and tell that guy I love him. There's a reason why God's told you that. It's not to set you up. You know, God doesn't say, hey, Jack, go talk to that guy over there. Hey, Gabriel, Michael. Watch this. He's going to look like such a jerk right now. He doesn't do that. Can't you agree that when you are obedient to that word and you walk over and say, excuse me, but I just want you to know that God cares for you. How many times that's happened in your life and somebody says, hey, man, thanks. Needed that. And they begin to share with you. My wife just left me, and I don't know who to. God doesn't want to set you up. God's trying to set that guy up in aisle 6 to get him to come into the kingdom. We need to be a witnessing church. The only way that we'll be a witnessing church is if I am a witnessing person within the body, if you're a witnessing person within the body. And you might say, well, that's not my thing. Oh, yeah, it is your thing. You may never say a word, but yet you are a witness this morning. There are people at your job, people in your community that are forming opinions about who you are and what you stand for. And Stephen had an incredible message. He had incredible power about him because he believed in what he taught. You know, we by nature, almost out of courtesy, give somebody the benefit of the doubt and we let them have the floor and we'll talk to them even though we disagree with what they adhere to. But we respect them because they believe. Though it may differ. Billy Graham can go to any governmental head in the world today and they'll let him in, even unannounced. You know, that's one of the signs of a prophet of God. You know, Jeremiah and Isaiah would show up and they'd open the door. And he would speak. The message was not always accepted. But you may or may not agree, disagree with Billy Graham. I think he's God's prophet. But there's certainly a fact that when he opens his mouth, people listen. And by the way, when he's not opening his mouth, people are watching him. There's a witness. I was told, extremely blessed by Pastor Rawl. He told me that he was in New York City and was called up to Billy Graham's room at the Marriott Hotel there. And by the way, that's a testimony in itself. The Marriott Hotels have Billy Graham and his staff stay free everywhere in the world where they go. And they don't even agree spiritually. But Mr. Marriott respects Billy Graham's opinion and his integrity. And so while they were there, he was telling me how before Billy Graham ever goes into any hotel or any building, any convention center, anywhere, that his men go in before him and they make sure that there's been no weird notes planted. They go through the hotel rooms, bathrooms, search everything out to make sure that integrity is kept intact, that there's not seriously a woman of the evening hiding in a closet with somebody could set him up. Isn't that all you need to see in the newspaper? There's that integrity. Why? There's a witness even if he doesn't speak. There's a witness with you even if you don't speak. And I know that's uncomfortable. But God is watching us not to disqualify us, but to encourage us. When you fail, when you trip up, when you fall down, God says, now get up because you're my witness. Not stay down because you're a jack or you're a bum. He loves you. And we need to remember that. We're going to be looking at a witnessing church this morning, starting in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 15. It says there, "And Stephen, full of faith and power." Well, we remember last week in our study up in verse 5, where it said there, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit." And by the way, they chose six other men. The last time we saw Stephen, he was waiting on tables. He was cleaning the church after the construction on Saturday. He was ministering, doing menial things, apparently, but yet God saw his faithfulness at that and promotes him up. And by the way, while he's waiting on tables, God is using him in a powerful way. A lot of people, more now than before, will say, "Jack, I think God's telling me to be your assistant pastor." Well, that's pretty neat. But do they know what an assistant pastor should be like? We should be willing at any moment to take out trash. But everybody wants a microphone and a spotlight, but nobody wants to do the things that nobody sees. Trash? Children's ministry? I think I hear God calling me some. Oh, yes, yes, he's calling me to the church down the street. I'll see you later. Let him go. The Stephens are doing the things that are not seen. God promotes, Proverbs tells us, not from the east, from the west, from the north, or from the south, but from above. God promotes. Stephen's this kind of guy. He's a wonderful man. By the way, in the way of introduction, we're going to take some time getting into introduction because it's so important. Jot these things down in your notes concerning Stephen. An amazing guy. He's a lot like us. First of all, Stephen was a Hellenist. We saw that last week, which means he was brought up in the world, but he's a believer. How many of you have been brought up in the world? I grew up in a non-Christian home. He was a Hellenist, a Greek-speaking Jew who believed, but cultured in the Greek world. He was from the synagogue that we're going to be looking at this morning. His very synagogue, he was from there, and it's that place where he goes to deliver this message. That's just like us. We go back to those. We come to maybe a Harvest Crusade, or we come to a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, and we give our heart to Christ. Then what do? We go back to those who we associate with. We go back to the job on Monday. We begin to share with people. They begin to say, "What's with you?" All of a sudden, you got a Bible. What are you, some kind of a Jesus freak? And they're watching to see what you're made out of now. And you love them. You tell them at work. You don't turn your shoulder on them and, "Well, I'm a believer now and you're a heathen." You stay over there and us believers are over here in the light. That's not the way to do it. Stephen went to the very synagogue. And then we'll see also that he's a lot like us today and that he goes to his own family. Those that he associated with by worship, by living together. And then listen to this. Stephen's name means the victor's crown. Isn't that neat? What a neat name. If your name's Stephen this morning, it means the victor's crown. Stephen is going to be a gem in the crown of Jesus Christ. He's a gem. He's a jewel. The word Stephen is the word Stephanos, and it means an achiever, one who achieves a crown by earning it. Now, you have your salvation freely given to you. Isn't that nice? All the hard stuff's done. Now that you are saved, and I know I'm not talking to everybody here this morning, but for those of you who are saved this morning, Stephen's name means, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it now? Jack, do I have to do things to keep my salvation? No, not at all. But because you have now experienced love and forgiveness and grace, you stand before God and you go, "What do you want to do with me, God? Whatever you want, you do. Call the shots." Stephen was that kind of guy. And a witnessing church needs to be like that kind of a church. "Lord, what do you want us to do? I want you to go to the other side of the world." "Well, let's go. I want you to go down the street." "All right." It's always, "Yes, Lord." It can never be, "No, Lord." That's impossible. It's always, "Yes, Lord," in the affirmative. We need to remember that. So let's dive into this. And we're going to look at point one, and that is, as a church, remember who you are. You are this church. You and I need to be, number one, ready for the world. Ready for the world. Peter tells us in 1 Peter to be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks of us a reason for the hope that we have. You need to be ready. Are you ready before the world today? If you're not, we need to get ready. And this is how we do it. Looking at the life of Stephen, verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." He was full. The word full in the Greek means filled up and overflowing full. And by the way, the word suggests that you can be emptied out. And that's an eye-opener for us. Did you know right now in the Spirit, we've got these little meters in the Spirit. God just kind of looks out there and says, "Oh gosh, there's Johnny and there's Becky," and, you know, like Hobo Kelly kind of stuff, you know. But God can look at us. And he says, "Well, you know what? You're running a little low. You need to get filled again." In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the word in the Greek is be filled with the Spirit, and that is over and over again. Be ye continually filled up. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you full this morning? Well, I'm not into that. Are you a Christian? Yes. Then you need to get filled up again. The word implies that we can be spilled out. Now, let me ask you something. When's the last time you got filled? When's the last time you bowed your head and said, "Lord, all this power and all this stuff the Scripture talks about, I want it. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name to fill me." You know, Jesus spoke to believers when he said, "How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" He spoke it to believers, not non-believers. We need to be filled up again. Yes, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, never to leave you, but are you overflowing? If you're overflowing, your life will be characterized by not only the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but you will have faith and power. And some of your Bibles might have the word grace in power, if you look real close. But the word is faith in the original language. But it's a faith that is powered by God with grace. Filled up, overflowing faith. The faith there means a persuasive or an assuring faith, a graceful faith. We're not talking about putting bumper stickers on your car and you know, bondoing a Bible to your head. "I'm a Christian." That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a persuasive faith. Stephen had that faith. I asked Dr. Wilder Smith, we're going up the freeway together, coming up here. And he said, "What's going on?" And I told him about Russia and stuff. He says, "You know, that's great, but it will not be successful completely unless you have people living in Russia." And I said, I believe that, but I'd like to know why you say that. And he said, "Because people are converted more firmly and more confidently if they can watch your life rather than hear a message on the street." And isn't that true? Stephen was full of faith, but it was the faith that persuaded people to listen to his message. How's your faith? How's my faith? Are people watching our lives without even a word? And they're saying, "Man, you know what? I don't agree with everything that guy says. I don't like, you know, his hair color, his whatever. But there's one thing I can't fault the guy on. He believes in what he believes." Do you have that kind of persuasive faith? It's ours for the taking. Do you want it? I need it. I want it. And then the word is their power. It says that he's full of faith and power. Dunamis, dynamic, dynamite. The word means force, strength, a tenacious might. Beautiful. This is Stephen. What a guy. And he's the waiter at the church. He's the one waiting on tables. How convicting this is. But we must be filled up again. Remember the little song, "I am the teapot, short and stout. This is my handle and this is my spout." Is that right? That's about all I know. So let's take it from the top. Ready? You know what? There's a lot of truth to that little thing because the lid pops off, God fills us up, and we're supposed to pour it out. If you're stagnant right now, it's because all of your knowledge that you have, it's just sitting inside kind of rotten. And you need to start giving it out. And God begins to fill you up. You'll experience power in your life. You'll be a witnessing person. You don't have to have a bunch of tracts in your pocket and a 9-foot Bible. You just live under the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you'll have power. You'll have faith. And when you open your mouth or when you walk to your job or whatever you're doing, you will be persuasive. People will step back and they may criticize you. In fact, I think you ought to get ready for it. But when the chips are down for them, they're going to come talk to you. We need to be ready in the world. That's God's will. Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, "For so whoever desires to save his life will lose his life, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And the meaning of this word, we could spend months on this verse in Matthew 16:25 alone. It simply means die to your own self. Why do I say that? Jesus says, man, if you're trying to protect your world and your little glass house, when you'll come to the end of your life would have been self-lived and it will mean nothing. But he says, if you're willing to give of your life and to be absolutely ready at my command, you'll find life. You want to know why Stephen was so effective? You want to know why there are some around us here today that are effective? It's because they're already dead. They died already. You know, as we study this message and all by Stephen, he's going to come to a point where he's going to preach one of the greatest messages ever seen in Scripture. And what do you think they do? They all run forward and sign up to the new believers class. They pick up stones and they kill him. What a message. What a crusade. But he was ready. You know why? He was living his life for Christ Jesus. And what are we doing? Are we playing the church game or are we living our life for Christ? Trying to build a bigger church or allow more room for more disciples to follow God and to go out into the world and change it? What are we doing? Where are we? Want to go to the place where it's comfortable and no problem? Then great. But when I look around in the news and when I see things that's going on in the world, this world's not getting any better. We need to be dressed up in combat gear. We need to be ready.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 1. Thanks for listening. And as believers, when we are ready for the world, we will radiate light to the world. A Witnessing Church, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. If you're not sure how to get involved with a local church, or you've got questions regarding your faith in Christ, or maybe you've accepted Christ for the first time and you need some direction, we'd like to help you out. Simply go to our website, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. RealLifeWithJackHibbs.org also has a tab called Know God that gives special presentations of the gospel to help reaffirm your decision for Christ. And did you know that Pastor Jack offers weekly devotions? These devotions are offered to inspire you and deepen your relationship with the Lord. And Pastor Jack's Book of the Month? Well, he personally handpicks that. It's sure to help you along in your journey with the Lord. You can easily access any of the information I just mentioned by downloading the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. The Real Life app is designed to give you a variety of resources, like the Real Life TV broadcast, the Real Life Radio daily audio broadcast, that includes previous episodes, by the way. So be sure to check that out, the Real Life app at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.